This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Thursday. It's Friday, Junior. That means we have a great show planned for you. That means we have Woke or Joke, brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. That will be coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But until then, we have tons to discuss. And if you want to join in, the number is 844-500-4242. It's a beautiful day here in New England, and I'm so excited about that. It's been a little dreary the last couple of days. And we have a lot of fun news for you to take in. We have some updates on the Fetterman debate. Elon Musk was at Twitter yesterday, and he walked in. He was at Twitter HQ, which is in San Francisco, which is so perfect when you really think about it. Where else should the Ministry of Truth be besides in San Francisco? It's a match made. It's a match made in hell, really. So he shows up at Twitter HQ carrying a sink. And the most I could find out about it as to what the sink meant or what the purpose of the sink was is that he said, I'm entering Twitter HQ, let that sink in. I'll be honest, to me, I like to be hands-free. That's a long way to go, a lot to carry for a joke, for a pun. But hey, I'm not going to criticize the genius here. Maybe he knows something we don't. So he shows up to Twitter HQ. Naturally, this might not come as a huge shock to the listeners, not really a warm reception. In fact, I saw some screenshots, some photos of people looking at him while he was talking. Not the look you want to see from your new employees. They were giving him a glare, Jared, that I'd never seen before.
We actually do have a little bit of leaked audio from that meeting with the Elon and the employees at Twitter.
Oh, really?
I don't know most of you. Why would I? You're all fired.
Well, you know what's really funny? We're going to get into the debates and all that important stuff leading up to the midterms, but I just wanted to switch it up here for a minute. It's funny because there was a tweeter who works at Twitter, a Twitter tweeter, and she was upset by his appearance. Her name is Stephanie Guevara, and her bio is senior iOS engineer at Twitter, vegan, or as Howie would say, vegan, marathon runner, dog lover, pizza fan, she, her. So she's located in San Francisco, and she tweets out, hey, Elon Musk, tags him in it. This is how bold people are. And I know I'm from an old school mentality of like, you know, you're nice to the boss, the person who's signing your checks. You pay them a little bit of respect. You keep your mouth shut occasionally. But these Twitter people are on a different level. The entitlement that they feel is beyond. So she goes, hey, at Elon Musk, thanks for visiting at Twitter SF. Hope you enjoyed your coffee at the perch. Just one question. Was it fun to look at the faces of the people you said you'd be laying off? Now, I have a question for Stephanie. Have you ever heard, and I'm sure she's brilliant, you know, I'm sure she went to all the fancy schools and all that good stuff. You ever heard you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar? If I know the guy's showing up and he's looking to lay 75% of the workforce off, I've said this before, Jared, but I would be the worst. I would be the one next to Elon Musk being like, oh my God, I love that shirt on you. You look awesome. Anything I can get for you? You want a water? Do you want a tour of the place? Man, tell us a little bit about Tesla. How'd that get going? I would be sucking up to the boss to keep my job. Instead, they're mean tweeting him from the office while he's there. What am I missing here?
Like you said, it's just entitlement. Elon should have responded, did you enjoy looking into the faces of the people you're going to fire? Yes. Yes, I did, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people were responding that. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he loved it. Well, he also released a statement about why he's taking over and how he hopes to improve advertising on the platform, what his goals are for free speech and all that moving forward. I'm not getting my hopes up, but I'm also not going to criticize yet. I noticed that people, especially conservatives, were so quick to... So he puts out this thing. It's pretty vague, you know. Oh, I want to help with free speech. I don't want it to become a hellscape. I want people to be able to choose what they see and what they don't see. And people are already jumping on him like, oh, the problem with that is that free speech just barely set foot in the place yet. You know, I'm excited either way. Am I putting all my eggs in this basket? Do I think he's going to save Twitter or save social media or save America? No. Am I going to make a hero out of him? No. But am I excited that the status quo is being disrupted? 100% yes. Am I excited that some of the delicate geniuses at Twitter might have to change their game plan a little bit, might have to be a little bit less condescending to the rest of us? Yes. And who knows if his plans will work or if Twitter will change for the better, but it's interesting to watch. And why not feel optimistic even for a minute, Jared? Sometimes I look at things, like I look at news, and it's a big change or something, or, you know, it's a swing for Republicans, things are going in the right direction, and there's all these people that already have issues with it. It's like, let me feel happy about something for 40 seconds. I'm sure tomorrow Elon Musk is going to do something we can all be mad about, but let me feel good.
Yeah. I mean, when you're snaking a drain, you gotta shine the flashlight in there first, find the problem, put the snake in, take it out. And then like they want the running water right away.
Well,
like, there's a process here.
Well, when he brought in the sink, I thought that was alluding to like draining the swamp at Twitter or something. I didn't know what the messaging was behind it.
He might just walk around with sinks. I mean, the guy is a weirdo.
Yeah. No, he definitely is a little bit strange.
Emotional support sink.
Now, back to the debates. I know this is what everyone's talking about. We are 12 days away from the high stakes midterms. And John Fetterman versus Dr. Oz was the debate that was not last night. It was the night before. So that would be Wednesday, correct? It was Tuesday night debate. And as we talked about all day yesterday, it was a disaster for John Fetterman. I did notice, though, that the media is finally mustering up the courage. They had to sit with this one a bit.
Oz rule.
They had to really let it sink in. They got close to almost admitting, almost waving the white flag and saying, there's nothing we can say here. This was just a train wreck. They got close to that. They got close to almost saying how disastrous it was. And then they finally mustered up the strength to do what they do best. And that is shamelessly run cover and spin for progressives. So I'm going to read you a headline here from Slate. Actually, John Fetterman's debate performance was fine. And they're not the only ones. There's plenty of people who are saying there was nothing wrong with it. He was fine. Sure, he couldn't put a sentence together. Sure, he was interrupting randomly. Sure, he seemed very confused, but everything's fine.
Oz rule.
There's nothing to worry about. Now, fear not, though. If you're John Fetterman and you're getting nervous because of how bad the debate was, plenty of people have already voted. So that's the good news if you're John Fetterman. There's a chance, there's a very good chance that some people who now wish they could change their vote because they were watching that debate and saying, oh my gosh, there's no way this man could be in the United States Senate. They are not going to be able to change their vote. They've already sent it in. Thank you, early voting. Thank you, mail-in voting. It's a wonderful thing. Now, there's another plus, though. There's another plus as to why John Fetterman should not be throwing in the towel just yet. According to The Hill, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will head to Philadelphia to campaign together on Friday. A rare occurrence for the duo who typically don't travel alongside one another. They're going to campaign for John Fetterman. They don't usually send them both out at the same time because it's hard. You know, it's hard to manage both gaffe machines at the same time. It's like having toddlers, you know, you're just, oh, okay, hold on. You ever try to, you're getting ready.
I'm trying to herd cats.
When we were little and getting ready for school and stuff, and you know, your mom has to get one of your coats on, and then by the time she turns around, the other sibling is like, you know, running out the door and trying to get everybody all at the same time. That's what it's like having Kamala and Joe. How do you manage them? One's talking about electric school buses, She got hard eyes and she's just fawning over electric school buses. The ice cream man is wandering around looking for the Easter bunny. It's tough. You know, you have to have all hands on deck when the both of them are together. But they're going to go campaign for John Fetterman. And you know what I have to say about that? That ought to do the trick. I think that's what he's missing. I think anyone who watched that is going to say, never mind. I feel good about this. Also, Carrie Lake is beating Katie Hobbs by 11 percentage points, according to a new poll from Fox 10 Phoenix and Insider Advantage. That's great news for Carrie Lake. I wonder if Katie Hobbs is regretting not debating Carrie Lake, because that was, I think that was a huge part of why Carrie Lake was able to take off and get so far ahead of her, is because she's a scaredy cat. She's a wimp. People don't like a wimp. And it's not just Republicans who don't like a wimp. I guess Democrats don't like one either. And I'm going to talk about this more in the 1 o'clock when we bring on our Reno audience, but Adam Laxalt in Nevada is neck and neck with freshman Senator Cortez Masto in Nevada. So that's great news as well. So we've got a lot of races we're watching. We've got a lot to discuss. Oh, and one more thing I wanted to add in. Yesterday, I was playing some cuts from Biden. We'll replay them for people who missed it because they were pretty funny. But I'm used to all of Joe's stories for the most part. It's very hard for Joe to tell me something that I haven't already heard. I know all of his best material. And yesterday, I'm looking at this cut sheet and I see he's talking about selling bicycles online and how to avoid a bounced check and getting a late fee on a bike that you bought on Facebook.
Think about what you'd think about.
And I thought, this is new for me. I haven't seen this yet. And then he starts talking about airplanes and legroom. And again, I'm thinking, whoa, two new pieces of material in one day? What is happening? And I couldn't figure out what that was about. And so I played the cuts, but I didn't even know what they were in reference to. I kind of just thought he was going on a random tangent about fees. Well, it turns out that the White House, this is again from The Hill. I got a lot from The Hill this morning. It said, White House pivots to closing argument on the economy. That was the closing argument, was the conversation about bicycles and legroom. I don't know. I'm at a loss here. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. That's what we're deciding to end on. You know, out of all the things they could talk about, the bike on Facebook is going to be the big one. 844-500-4242. Again, we've got so much to discuss. I would love to chat with you about any of these races that you're interested in, any of these sound cuts, and we have a lot more stories to get to. 844-500-4242. It's Thursday, and we're going to have tons of fun, so don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. And fall is in the air. It really is. And it's starting to get a little crispy, but it's a beautiful day. And all I can think about is what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, which is a delicious steak from Omaha Steaks. I'm going to have the bacon-wrapped filet mignon, because you can't go wrong with it. A nice glass of wine, it's perfect. And fall is the perfect time to stock up when you take advantage of 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. Plus, you get $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com when you use code GRACE at checkout. This is the best deal they run all year. If you go online, you can really peruse all the different options. So there are certain packages that will have different kinds of meat in it. So I really like the ones with, they get you the extra hamburger and extra steaks, but some people like the pork chops, the chicken. There's so many options. Just try it out at omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Minimum order may be required. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose endorsement will help John Fetterman the most? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or the Dave Matthews Band?
All right. So I saw this morning. I heard that Joe and Kamala are going to visit and see John Fetterman and try to help his campaign, or Giselle's campaign, whatever you want to call it. But I also saw a tweet of, was it Dave Matthews or the full band?
I think it was just Dave Matthews.
Okay. Now, for people who don't know, he... Yeah.
Sounds like Fetterman.
I do love Dave Matthews Band. My husband loves them, too. So he's supporting John Fetterman. And this is not the first celebrity endorsement. If you haven't been following, Harry Styles, Casey Musgraves, other big stars have endorsed Beto O'Rourke. And we've seen what that's done for his campaign. So celebrities like to weigh in. And we're right in that area. I just want to warn people, it's spooky season because of Halloween and all that. But it's also that time of year where you start to see the PSAs, where celebrities start to sing to you through their iPhones and tell you who to vote for. And it gives me chills in the back of my neck just thinking about it. Just thinking about Bill Kristol or George Clooney or Julia Roberts telling me who to vote for. I don't need it. I don't want it. But these celebrities, they can't get enough, especially when Democrats are in such a desperate position like they are right now. That's when they really come in with their capes on to save the day. So we have these three options. I'm really not sure. You know what I will say? I'll say probably Dave Matthews would have the best chance at helping John Fetterman because Kamala Harris is polling terribly. So is Joe Biden. They're both walking disasters. Wherever they go, they mess things up. So I think a little bit of Dave Matthews, at least he's a performer. He knows how to work the audience. People like his music. He might be Fetterman's best bet.
93% of the audience agrees that Dave Matthews is the best option. 5% say Kamala and only 2% for Joe.
Damn, only 2% for Joe. I do have bad news for Kamala Harris, though. I might save this for when we come back. She was talking about the yellow school buses yesterday, and she loves the school buses. And I don't like to hate on people for being excited about things. You know, certain things.
But the children love the books.
They make your day. You know, you should see when I get this certain kind of drink from Starbucks, it costs an obscene amount of money. I only allow myself to get it once a month. But when I get it, Jared, I'm jamming out in my car. I'm over the moon. And so everyone has different things that really excite them. For her, it's a yellow school bus. I do have bad news on that, though. I'm going to have to burst her bubble when we come back. We have a Kamala Harris update. Before we get to that, though, because we're talking about celebrities, you know how there's this thing that happens after elections, and we saw it the most after Donald Trump won in 2016, where people like to tell you that their kids were very upset by this. Like, they'll say things, my four-year-old just looked at me and said, "Why, mommy? Why is the orange man going to destroy democracy?" Like, they like to come up with these things. And then people write back and say, "Your kid didn't say that. That's ridiculous." I've got a new one for you. George Clooney's wife, Amal Clooney, says her son, who's 5, drew a picture of prison and said, "Putin should be here." Now, Jared, you're a new dad.
I am.
Do you believe this?
No.
No.
We're
going to get a lot more of these coming up.
And, you know, hey, maybe I'm just being cynical here.
No, I don't think you're being cynical.
No,
of course not. It's ridiculous. And we're about to get a lot more of that heading into election season. It's going to be like, you know, my daughter looked at me and said, "Mom, women's rights are on the line coming up in this election. We need to do something." She's only 6 months old. It's coming. You know that this is going to happen. By the way, we come back. We got Hunter Biden updates on his laptop. We've got an interesting story about the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. And of course, some bad news for the Veep. Don't go anywhere. It's Thursday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Some updates for you in the Hunter Biden story. And this is my theory on it. I think that after the midterms, you know, we're always told that you know, the FBI, the DOJ, they don't want to come forward with anything that's going to skew the midterms or skew elections. You know, they prefer to bury things rather than have voters know about what's actually going on. Hence why they were all so keen on burying the October surprise that was the Hunter Biden laptop by claiming that it had earmarks of Russian disinformation. But my theory is that after these midterms, the media and the Democrats are they're going to want to get rid of Joe Biden. And they're going to have to figure out a way to do that. So they're either going to go with A, and if you think I'm wrong on this, feel free to call in 844-500-4242. But here's my theory. They're either going to go with A, he's too old, or B, Hunter Biden is too much of a scandal. You're already seeing some talk about this. Like John Stewart, for example, decides to say that it is corruption what Hunter Biden did. You're already starting to hear a little bit of the whispers of more of an interest in the Hunter Biden story and the scandal that is Joe Biden's corrupt, drug-addled son. But I'm just curious what road they're going to go down. Are they going to say, listen, he's too old, you know, and then what we'll hear, Jared, we'll start to hear like the palace intrigue. Oh, there's reports that he's losing his train of thought. And the second you start to read that, that's when you know it's over for Joe Biden. The second they start to say, oh, an inside source says, you know, he's wandering around late at night. He's having trouble remembering where he was. That's when you know they turn on him, unless they decide to go with the Hunter Biden angle. I'm not sure which one is going to be more convenient for the left. I have a feeling the old card might be the one they play. But here's what we have from the New York Post. Of course, it's by Miranda Devine, the best in the business. It says the 634-page report on Hunter Biden's laptop and 459 alleged crimes. Right-wing nonprofit research group Marco Polo had a thorough forensic examination of every document. See, that's the thing. If you want to investigate this, if you want to verify it, you can. You just have to have a forensic examination. Remember when Leslie Stahl said, we can't verify that. This is 60 Minutes. We can't run with that. Well, they could have if they just, you know, wanted to do their jobs. But they prefer to run with documents that are fake but accurate. They don't want actual accurate documents getting in the way at 60 Minutes. So the 634-page report lists six alleged crimes committed by Joe Biden. Okay, Jared, write that down. We've got six for Joe. All right. And some of those include tax evasion, violations of FARA, which is the Foreign Agents Registration Act, alongside, ready for Hunter's, 459 crimes it alleges were committed by Hunter. Whew. Does he get to give 10% of those crimes to the big guy? Because I'm sure that Joe's guilty of more than just six. But so we're clocking Joe in at six here and Hunter at 459, including illegal foreign lobbying and money laundering. He also sent a copy to, now this is a part that I read this today and I thought Howie would appreciate this, because the founder of this group is Garrett Ziegler. He's 26-year-old former deputy to Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro, who's also been the victim of the weaponization of the DOJ. He was arrested at the airport, I think in Nashville, and was thrown in John Hinckley's prison cell. So this guy, Garrett Ziegler, he's doing this investigation, right? And he gets all this, and he decides to send a copy of his report to certain people. So he's sending it to, you know, I'm sure Republicans, news outlets, things like that. But he also sent a copy to every one of Hunter Biden's former classmates in the class of 1988 at the Archmere Academy in Delaware. And he put a note next to it. And the note said, we thought you might be interested in reading about your most infamous classmate. We believe that Archmere Academy really molded Hunter into who he is today. Well done. I love someone who does the dirty work, does the homework, figures it all out, but then also treats themselves a little bit at the end. You know, give yourself a reward. Send it to his classmates. It's a little petty, but I'm all for it. Why not? So congrats to Garrett Ziegler for doing all this tough stuff here. That's the Marco Polo group. We'll keep you posted as we find out more. But I've seen it today on Fox. A lot of people are running with it. Hopefully something comes out of this. I'm always curious about the bank records, you know? Based off Hunter and what I've seen, and Lord knows I've seen too much. I wish I could bleach my eyeballs after everything I've seen. The thigh pictures alone make me cringe. That gun pressed up against his thigh, the bathtub pictures. He's always, you notice that whenever he's in like tight undies or jockstrap, whatever it is, he always throws on a scarf. He likes to accessorize it, you know? He doesn't want to be completely exposed. So he likes to put the scarf on to add a little je ne sais quoi. But I've seen a lot of the pictures. And I don't even know why I went on that tangent. now I have the visual and I'm thrown off here by Hunter Biden. Oh no, what I was going to say is he doesn't strike me as the type of guy who is really cleaning up his tracks when it comes to his finances. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a guy who records himself having sex. He records himself doing drugs. He records it all. And yet we're supposed to believe that when it comes to his banking records, there's no trace of those on this laptop. This laptop has everything. Every time the guy farted, he put an entry into his Mac. And then he left it. Then he left it at a repair shop. And you're telling me that we can't find any of his bank accounts, that he doesn't have a ton of that stuff on there? And I know they're finding more things, but I would just like to see them, you know? I would just like to see the connection. I think if there was ever a criminal where you could find a clear connection between him and his co-conspirators, it would be someone like Hunter Biden, who is the opposite of never write it when you can say it, never say it when you can nod it, never nod it when you can wink it. I know I'm butchering that. But whatever that expression is, he is the exact opposite. He's like, don't write it when you can type it and send it and save it to your iCloud and give a copy of it to a laptop guy and put it on multiple laptops and then record yourself saying it and then send the copy of your recording to someone. That's Hunter. He wants to leave the biggest trail possible at all times. So we got to find out a little bit more about the banking. Don't get me wrong. The pictures and stuff, it really does paint a picture of what kind of guy Hunter Biden is. But clearly that doesn't do enough for Democrats. They don't think that's a big deal. So let's find out more about the finances behind all this. All right, now it's time for one of my favorite segments. And that would be, where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom.
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris?
Tell me where in the world.
Tell me where can't she be?
That's what a time.
Kamala Harris yesterday was in Seattle. She's heading to see John Fetterman, I believe, today or tomorrow. And yesterday she was in Seattle, and we got some cuts here that are very common for Kamala Harris to say. She loves to talk about school buses. And so I want to play, Jared, first the cut that's really gone viral, which is 16.
So here's the thing. Who doesn't love a yellow school bus, right? Can you raise your hand if you love a yellow school bus, right? Just there's something about... And most of us, many of us, went to school on the yellow school bus, right? And it's part of our experience growing up.
I have to say, when it comes to ad-libbing, which I don't even know if she's ad-libbing because these are speeches that she's delivering, but it is impressive how bad she is at it, how just off the cuff she really can't come up with anything. But there was a purpose to this. She wasn't just talking about school buses for no reason. It was because this is part of her agenda, something that she's pushing, and that would be electric school buses, and get rid of those evil gas-powered school buses. So this is cut 15.
Today, 95% of our school buses are fueled with diesel fuel, which contributes to very serious conditions that are about health and about the ability to learn.
All right, now, she's in Seattle talking about that and how it's so bad that there's these diesel-powered school buses and how bad it is for the kids. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But this is from Ari Hoffman, who comes on the show a lot. He writes a lot about things happening in Seattle. And this is the headline. Kamala Harris touts Biden's clean school bus program in Seattle, while nearby city's entire fleet is inoperable.
I'm on the magic school bus.
Make a plane, don't you?
Take that.
I'm on a magic school bus.
I wonder if Miss Frizzle's school bus was electric. Because hers could fly, it could go underwater. I don't know. I'll have to fact check that. Well, in Seattle on Wednesday, Vice President Kamala Harris announced a White House initiative to electrify the nation's school buses. It's electric. Do, 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 do. However, in nearby Kent, Washington, all three of the district's electric school buses were out of service. Wah, wah.
Seatbelts, everyone.
I bet it sounded like my motorized scooter when I was younger. I got one of those motorized scooters and I'd take it up the hill up to my house and it would go. And then I'd have to push it regularly. And it's so much harder because the wheels don't really work like a regular scooter. So it just becomes a pain. A source told the Post-Millennial that the district bought 3 electric school buses with the grants that were given out a couple of years ago. All 3 of those buses are out of service today because they cannot get parts for them. They also cannot be serviced by our district mechanics. Another source said that many in the district have vowed to never get electric buses again. No!
Okay, Gus bus.
Because electric buses are, quote, a bad idea. At least one of the buses has been out of service for 8 months. Another challenge facing the district and many others across the country is a nationwide bus driver shortage since the outbreak of the coronavirus. But I wonder if people will come back to driving buses if they know the bus is electric. It's electric. Isn't this interesting, though? She's there touting these electric buses. And meanwhile, a lot of the electric buses in the area, they can't be fixed, Jared, because it's too hard to get the parts because of the supply chain crisis and all of the other issues that we're having because of Kamala Harris. It really is. It's not a Venn diagram. It's not. It's more just one giant circle, you know? You don't need 2 circles for this one. You just need 1 giant circle.
This really does just sum up this administration.
Yeah.
Incompetency, both by design and by nature.
Yep. And they show up bragging about something that nobody wants. Zebra, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, I think those buses catch on fire, one did recently, but no worry, we got plenty of kids. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it over the busing issue that Kamala called Biden a racist, and she was one of the kids on the bus? How can that be a positive experience?
That's very true!
Freedom!
She did say that. She said that little girl was me on the bus, but she does love school buses despite that. Yeah, her calling Joe Biden a racist, and I guess according to reports, that didn't sit well with Dr. Jill. And that was her big moment. That was actually the only big moment she had.
Dr. B.
That was her one bump in the polls that made her a contender for about 5 minutes. I don't know. I can't tell you, though, why she still has a love for school buses, but she does, obviously. She talks about them all the time. 844-500-4242. When we come back, I want to talk about, and Jared, I'm not even joking when I say we get one of these every single day. We had the Tuso pie situation. We had the soup, and I'm just going based off memory here. It's good training for me just to remember all these. The soup on the Van Gogh painting. The pie in King Charles's face at the Tuso Museum. The glue on the hands at the Porsche showroom. The paint on the outside of the Ferrari place in London.
The mashed potatoes on another painting.
The mashed potatoes on a Monet painting. And the guy who set himself on fire at a tennis tournament. Okay? And today we have a new one. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it involves food. It involves glue. It involves art. So you don't want to miss it. But since we're talking about mashed potatoes, you know what mashed potatoes go great with, Jared, besides a Monet painting? A steak. That's what I prefer. Some people see mashed potatoes and they go, I'm going to chuck these at a beautiful piece of art. I see mashed potatoes and I say, I'm going to pair an Omaha steak with those mashed potatoes. Maybe a little bit of gravy, maybe a salad. But that's just me. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. From tailgate parties to busy weeknights, the flavor experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to savor all the flavors of fall. So I was telling you guys yesterday that I went on omahasteaks.com and I was checking out some of these packages. This deal, this semi-annual sale, it gives you 50% off some really giant packages. Like, you buy this and you're pretty much set for the fall. It's going to get you through a lot of dinners. You can get totally different ones, whether you're really into the red meat or you prefer to mix it up with some chicken, some pork. They have tons of options. And if you use promo code GRACE, you're not just getting the 50% off the semi-annual sale to get all your favorites, but you're also getting an additional $30 off your order at checkout. Minimum order may be required for discount. If you've been waiting on trying this, please try it now, because I promise you, you're not going to regret it. You are going to love this meat. It's really good quality. We can all attest to it here. We all love eating it.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the website right now. They have tons of packages you can choose from. This is what they call the value freezer filler. You get 4 bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 butcher-cut top sirloins, 4 air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, which are the best hot dogs you will ever have, caramel apple tartlets, and seasoning.
Yeah, and you know what else?
That's the value package.
You know what else I'm into now, too, is like they have the chicken sausage. They have the chicken sausages and all these different kinds of sausage. So good.
I can't wait to try the filet mignon Polish sausage.
Delicious. Now, all you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com. Again, perfect for those busy nights where you just want to pop something on the grill or on the cast iron. Don't forget to use promo code GRACE at checkout to score an extra $30 off your order. That's omahasteaks.com, code GRACE at checkout. Minimum order may be required. Let us know what you think when you try it. We'll be right back with a little bit of an update on the eco warriors who are saving the planet by destroying one priceless piece of art at a time. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hop on the bus, Gus.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. You know, I understand that when I read these stories about the climate protesters, a lot of them are from this organization called Just Stop Oil. And when they're doing all of these things, gluing themselves to the floor or to paintings, I know that I'm laughing about it because, let's face it, it's good content for the show. But I also understand why people call up, like the woman who called up yesterday and said, these brats are driving
How
me crazy.
You?
Like, this is so obnoxious and stupid. Who raised these people? I get that as well. And I feel that same way. But I think it adds a little lightness, too. Because a lot of times, their plan does not go as planned. In this case, it was an attack on Vermeer's Girl with the Pearl Earring painting. And it was at The Hague. And you have two guys. And I was trying to follow Jared. One was a bald guy. I think he was trying to glue his head to it. He was sprinkling something on his head and then sticking his head to the painting.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like it might have been like a can of tomatoes or something. I don't know.
No, the other guy. So I was going to get to that. First guy glues his head to the painting. The second guy opens up a can of what looked like tomato paste. And he dumps it on the bald-headed man who's gluing himself to the painting. That also threw me off because I didn't understand.
Is this performance art?
It really is becoming performance art because now we're throwing the tomato sauce on each other while we're gluing ourselves to the painting. These security guards, I give them credit because they have to stay calm. I would be grabbing these people by the collars and just chucking them outside. 844-500-4242.
Don't chase me, bro.
When we come back, Lori Lightfoot is proposing a nice raise for herself, plus Joe Biden's making fun of the media.